Heart to Heart is brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services. Here's Jackie LeBeau.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you all have power. I know we were out of power for 3 days, and that's a long time in this weather. And luckily, we have a generator, but it was getting a little hairy because we were running out of fuel for the generator, and trucks couldn't get up our steep road. And there was no cinders, but luckily the township got some cinders out. We got some fuel, and the electric came back on. So I hope everybody else has electric by now, too. It's just been one of those winters. So I'm hearing Gil tell us there's more snow coming, so let's cross our fingers. We just get the small amount, and because I know we're all tired of shoveling, too, but we're getting our exercise. So anyway, everybody, hope you're having a good day today. I have a wonderful show for us this morning. And before we get started, I have a couple announcements. I want to let everybody know my Opening Your Intuition class on February 22nd is full. So if you had wanted to come to that, you could still give me a call. I could put you on the waiting list or make sure that you get contacted when the next class is coming up so that you can get in on that, because that's a fun class because we all have the power to connect to spirit for daily guidance, and we're going to be talking about how to do that and doing some practice. So I also have one of my very favorite events coming up in March on Sunday, March 9th. We're doing Cooking with Spirit again, and you've probably seen my co-host on Fox 43 TV, Chef Donna Desfour, from There's a Chef in My Kitchen, will be hosting us at her tasting room in Mechanicsburg, and we're going to be doing a day of New Orleans cooking. So that's a little bit of Cajun and a little bit of Creole, and I have since learned the difference between those two. And Donna is going to be talking to us about how Creole has more French influences. It's not as hot. And I have to tell you, the whole day is not going to be too hot because both Donna and I are not big fans of too hot. And she said, and I agree with her, what good would it do to have an event that includes tasting if we're burning out our taste buds with too hot spices? So we're definitely going to keep that tempered. So feel free to join us. So it fills quickly. This is a very popular event. So you can reserve your space and get more information by contacting my office at 717-968-5289. Again, that's 717-968-5289. Or you can email me at jl@jackielebeau.com. That's my initials, jl@jackielebeau, jacquielebeau.com. And so I'll send you out a lot of information on that, and it's going to be a fun day. So this morning, remember, we'll be taking your questions and we'll be doing live readings. The number here at the studio to call is 717-637-0052. So my guest this morning, I am just thrilled to have a fellow animal communicator and psychic medium on the show this morning. Robinette Meyer will be joining us, and she is also a certified spiritual advisor for world-renowned medium Lisa Williams, and that's how Robin and I met. We were both in the class, Lisa's first class for professional psychic mediums. Robin's spiritual journey began at the very young age of 7, but it wasn't until she turned 14 that she truly started to embrace and develop her gifts. Throughout the years, she has studied with several teachers, including Lisa Williams and James Von Prague. She is a spiritual teacher and a mentor, and she's currently building a log cabin schoolhouse. So we all are familiar with those types of schoolhouses in our area, those old schoolhouses in Washington State. So she's out on the West Coast, where she will continue to teach spiritual and metaphysical studies, including animal communication. So welcome, Robin.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Jackie. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you getting up bright and early out there in Washington.
Yes, it is bright. Well, it's not really bright. It's still dark out there.
Yeah, so it's like 6:15 there, right?
Yes, it is, yes.
Okay.
And I got a little early so I could have my cup of coffee before I joined you.
I was going to say, that's what they make coffee for. So, yeah, it's great. So, you know, I always tell people, you know, that we can all talk to animals, you know, that it's simply telepathy and it's that heart-to-heart connection. So how did this ability start for you, Robin? How did you start to recognize that you could do this?
Well, I met my spirit guide when I was 7 years old, but it wasn't until I was 14 when I really started honing in on my gifts. And at the time, now that was back in 1974, and at the time, there wasn't a whole lot of books out that you could, you know, pick up and read. There were the Edgar Cayce books, which I read all of them. Mm-hmm. There were just a handful of books on what they at the time referred to as ESP, you know, and now you don't hear that term as much. It's now psychic abilities.
Right.
But I picked up every book that I possibly could and sought out any teacher, anybody that could help me along this path. But it wasn't until probably 5 or 6 years ago when my husband was watching the Seattle news and there was an animal communicator on there, and he says, Robin, that's just a natural for you. You should take her class and find out more about it. So I did. And that's when the animal communication, when I just started honing in on that gift. And again, it's something that all of us can do. We can all do this. It's just sometimes you just need a few little hints or, you know, a little bit of guidance on how to do it.
To get started.
Right. And, you know, the most important thing that I could tell people is just what I tell my students when they come to class is, you know, come with an open heart, an open mind, and trust.
Yeah, trust is the big thing, and that's also with opening your intuition. I always tell people that it's the same thing. It goes both ways. It's like you have to learn to trust what you get.
You know, that's so true. And the first animal communication reading that I did outside of the class was a real learning. I mean, I knew to trust what I was getting. My guides always told me, you know, and if you can't trust your guides, who can you trust?
Mm-hmm.
So I always knew to trust what I get. But with animals, it just seemed a little different. And the very first reading that I did outside of the class was for a gal in California, and she had a dog named Frankie that was having some issues, and she wanted a reading done on him. And I was taught by this teacher for animal communication to make sure that you're zoning in on that you're connecting with the animal, to ask three simple questions. And so I did. The first question was, where is your food dish located? He told me in by the back door. The owner validated what the information I was getting. The second question was, where do you sleep? And he showed me a plaid blanket, and the owner could validate that it was a red plaid blanket that he loves to lay on.
Mm-hmm.
And what is your favorite toy? And he showed me a blue toy. But in the meantime, when I hear, what is your favorite toy? And I heard the word lollipop. And I thought, oh, this is weird. This is a dog talking to me. It can't be lollipop. So I pushed that aside and I went on with the reading. And again, I heard the word lollipop.
Uh-huh.
And again, my ego stepped in and said, well, that's odd. This is a dog. It can't be lollipop. And I pushed it aside. The third time I heard it, I thought, well, I've got to say something. So I said to the owner, I said, you know, this is going to sound really weird, but I'm getting the word lollipop three times from your dog. And that's when she went, oh, my God, now I know you've really connected in with him. Because every day when I get home from work, I go to the kitchen drawer, I get out a C's lollipop, and I always give him the first three licks. And it's his thing. He loves it. He looks forward to it every day. And it was my big lesson in trust what you get.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I know what you're saying, Robin, because I've done the same thing with people. Like, the animals give you something, and you think just what you said. They're going to think I'm crazy if I say this.
Exactly. So that, you know, I always, you know, tell that story to my students as far as trust what you get and always give what you get, no matter how silly it sounds. Give it, because to you it might sound silly, but to the person that you're reading for, it might just resonate right to their soul. You know, so always trust what you're getting and give what you get.
Yeah, and that's true. And because I know, too, Robin, like you said, it's like sort of our egos. Like, you know, sometimes you're afraid to say stuff because you're thinking, what are they going to say? And one of the first animal communications I had done was with this bird. And I might have told this story before, but, you know, the bird told me, you know, that my owner thinks I'm a, what did she say? He said, my owner thinks I'm a boy, but I'm not. And I went, oh, my gosh. And, you know, Robin, I knew nothing about birds, you know, because I, you know, it just wasn't an animal that I was familiar with. I'm used to puppies. And if you want to know whether it's a boy or a girl, you just look, you know, and I was like, OK, I'm thinking. So I didn't say it. And at the very end, I said, well, and the last thing, you know, that Emmett said was this. And she didn't say anything. And I thought, oh, so she really thinks I'm nuts. 2 years later, she contacted me and she said, I just had to get in touch with you. She said, because he was having some other medical issues. And she said, the way to tell the sex on a bird is DNA testing. And they had him tested. And sure enough, it was a girl.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a female. Yeah. So, and it was so funny. And she said, and I said, well, I knew that's what he was telling me. She said, I heard what you said. She said, but we had just gotten this other bird. And I thought he was talking about when he said she thinks she's living with a boy, but she's not. I thought he was talking about the other bird that might have been sexed wrong. And I thought, okay. So, but I really appreciated that because I don't know about you, Robin, but the other thing that's hard for, I think, all of us in animal communication, sometimes we don't hear back.
Right. Exactly. We don't. Yes, exactly. We don't get the validation.
Right.
And it's not that we need the validation to feed our ego. We just need that validation so we know that we're connecting with spirit or with the animal or with the person that you're reading. Validation, just so we know that we're on the right track.
Yeah, and it's also, I like to know that, you know, we really were helpful. You know, I like to hear that, you know, what things were really beneficial for the person to hear and how that worked out. And, you know, it just makes you feel good to know that you really did something that really either brought them together or was beneficial for the animal, you know, and how they're living with that person or health-wise. And it's just always nice to hear. So I was so thankful to her for getting in touch with me.
Yes, definitely. I really appreciate it when people take the time to, you know, let you know. Even if it's, like you said, a year or two down the road, we still appreciate hearing from the clients and knowing that we did have, you know, that we did help in some way or just connected very, very good.
Yeah. So the person you studied with out on the West Coast, was that Penelope Smith?
No, that wasn't. No.
Okay. All right. Because I know she's out there. And, of course, she's sort of one of the mothers of animal communication.
Yeah, I do have one of her books. And, yeah, she's very, very good animal communicator.
Yeah. So I also have to ask you, Robin, you said you met your spirit guide when you were 7. So tell us about that a little.
That was, you know, I thought at the time it was an imaginary friend.
Mm-hmm.
But as I learned more after the age of 14, I realized that that was a spirit guide that was helping me and guiding me and teaching me at the time. So, you know, like I said, at the time I thought it was an imaginary friend, but later realized that it was actually a guide. And, you know, and that's something important when a child comes up to you and says, you know, I got this imaginary friend. Always, you know, never just poo-poo them.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Don't just shove it under a rug and go, oh, yeah, you know, little Jimmy has a wild imagination. It could be a lot more than that, you know, because at that young age, we're not polluted by reality yet, you know. We still have that connection. That veil is very thin. And we still connect very easily. It's not until we grow older when, you know, our parents say, oh, that's just imagination, or, you know, when life starts settling in, you know, when we kind of push that stuff under the rug and we kind of lose that connection.
Right, or you go to school and you tell some of the kids about that and they make fun of you.
Right, yeah.
You know, and all of a sudden, you know, that shuts down quick because they say that children are usually pretty open till about the age of 7. Mm-hmm. You know, and then it starts to close down, just like you said, Robin, because you have all these other influences coming in, putting mm-hmm. things in your mind, you know, that's telling you, no, you can't do that.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And back in the day, uh-huh. way back in, you know, the 60s and 70s, it was not as socially acceptable as it is now.
Right.
Now it's you know, a topic of conversation on, like, Blog Talk Radio, and I mean, there's so much.
Oh, there's so much on TV.
Yeah.
You know, just regular TV. There's Disney movies, for goodness sakes. I mean, all these things that are getting people more accepting, and it's becoming more common to see it, and it's not considered unusual.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's more socially acceptable now. And I'm really just so grateful for that. I'm so grateful. And there's so many people that are opening up, you know, that shift that is happening. I'm getting so many students that come to me for advice or mentorship, and they're just blowing me away with the information that they're getting. And it's just fascinating. I just love it. We're so fortunate to be able to teach in this time.
Yeah, at this moment. All right, well, Robin, we have a quick break we have to do, and then we'll be right back.
Excellent.
All righty.
Heart to Heart is being brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services.
Turn right in.
We're back, and this morning my guest is a fellow animal communicator and psychic medium, Robinette Meyer, and we're talking about animal communication, and Robin just gave us some great starters for questions to, like, hone into the right animal. And Robin, I was thinking about that, and I thought the other good thing about those first questions is it's sort of small talk, like, where's your food bowl located? What's your favorite toy? Because I always say I like to start out with a little small talk, because you wouldn't walk up to somebody and say, hey, your mom tells me you're fighting with your brother. What's that all about?
Right, exactly. It's very similar when we tap into spirit when we're doing a mediumship reading. You have to befriend them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the proper thing to do. And with animals, I find that some of them are so excited that they'll talk nonstop. It's like, oh my God, you can hear me. It's about time. And they'll just talk and talk and talk and send me so much information. And then there are animals that I will tap into that it's like they were just called into the principal's office, and they'll mm-hmm. answer yes or no. They don't want to have any small talk. They almost feel like they're in trouble or they're confused by the conversation. And so it's always a great idea to just friend them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think so too. And I always tell the owners to please tell them that I'm going to be getting in touch with them.
Yes.
Because I've actually had a dog was very quiet, and he says, you know, does my mommy know you're talking to me? You know, like, is it okay for me to talk to you? And I would say, yeah, sure. Mommy said it's okay. You can ask her, you know, but it's funny. So I always tell owners, please tell them, because it just gives them a heads up. And particularly, I mean, you know, you don't have to do it verbally. So probably those little motor mouth ones that you were getting, Robin, they knew it was coming, and they were, like, ready to say everything they've been holding back.
Yes, definitely. And yeah, because like I said, it can go both ways. They can be just so happy to talk, and then like other ones that they just don't, they're almost scared, or they don't quite get it, or they're like, oh, you can actually hear me.
Yeah. So you know, because it is. It's just like people. There's outgoing animals. There's shy animals.
Mm-hmm.
There's very, very intelligent animals. And there's animals that are just, you know, all they care about is, you know, playing. And, you know, they're not as bright. They're not as thoughtful. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you get all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned before about the bird, that you didn't know that much about
right.
birds. I had a reading for my dentist on koi fish. Now, I don't know anything about koi fish or fish. You know, And I thought, geez, can I even read a fish?
Yeah, yeah.
Communicate with the fish. And his issue was he has this beautiful koi pond that goes throughout his Japanese gardens, and then it goes through his living room.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, this is an outstanding place. And what he always feeds the koi fish from his living room. Every night when he got home from work, he would feed the fish from his living room. All the fish would come in to eat except for one. And so he asked me to come out to see if I could communicate with this koi fish. Now, this koi fish is telling me I don't like it when he spits in the water.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to tell my dentist quit spitting in the water. I'm sure he doesn't spit in the water, but he kept saying, I don't like it. I don't like it when he spits in the water. So I asked my dentist, I said, you know, I really hate to bring this up, but do you spit in the water? And he's like, no. So I sat there with the fish for a while, and here he gave me the sound of the water, that what he was hearing and feeling underneath the water. And what was happening was my dentist, when every like few days when the pond needed a little bit more water, he would take the hose and he would fill it up with the hose. Well, that pounding, that spitting of the water, of the hose water hitting the pond, was making that vibrating sound, and that particular koi fish did not like it. So from then on, my dentist started filling the pond with his 5-gallon buckets of water.
Oh.
And that cured the problem. The fish would come right in the house and eat them.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't that amazing? But you know, it just goes also to show how sensitive animals are.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And it just so happens he was filling it right where the pond goes into the house, so the fish would not go past that point.
Ah, so it was like a cutoff point.
Yeah, and it was the sound of that water from the hose pounding, you know, on the pond that he didn't like the vibration, he didn't like the sound. But we cured that with filling it 5-gallon buckets, and he pours it in that way, and now it's one happy koi fish.
Oh, my goodness, Robin, I love that story. You know, because it's so unusual. Everybody thinks that we just talk to cats and dogs. And,
yeah.
You know, it's all kinds of things. You know, I've had bunnies, you know, I've had, you know, the birds, you know, and of course there's horses, of course, but, you know, there's all kinds of things. I love that with the fish. Now you're out there, you know, in the woods. So have you had some experiences with some of the wild animals?
Yes, we have. We have all different types of. We have deers and owls and raccoons. In fact, we have 4 raccoons that we feed every day. We probably shouldn't, but they're so cute.
Uh-huh.
Gotta feed them. So I haven't really, communicated with them in a mental state. I always acknowledge them when they come through. We feed all the animals. So I always acknowledge them that way, but I haven't really like tapped into the deer to see, you know, if they're having any issues or if they have any wants or anything. I just always acknowledge them when they're here, and I always bless them and pray for their safety and let them know that on these 5 acres that we have, it's a place of peace and mm-hmm. harmony and safety. And that's why I wonder if that's why all the animals tend to gather on our 5 acres, because they know they're safe.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So much love on these 5 acres, yeah.
And, you know, and they read all that. They always read that, animals. And, you know, I always tell people, like, you know, you have the person who always ends up with the lost dogs or the kittens, and I'm thinking, yeah. Because it's like you have this beacon.
Exactly. I'm the same way. If there's a cat that's lost in the woods, it'll end up on my porch and become my child.
Uh-huh. Because they're just drawn by that. They definitely know that. So that's interesting. I mean, we've had interesting things with even insects, come to think of it, you know, where we had an ant problem coming down from the woods. And I remember at one point I said, you know, there's only so much of that you can take with ants. And I remember saying to them, okay, you have to go find another place out in the woods and get out of my garage. And I remember saying to them, you know, please do this, because if you're still here, you know, in 2 days, I'm going to have to do something to, you know, get rid of you. And believe it or not, they moved. And so it's just, I mean, even so, everything has consciousness.
Yes.
Everything has consciousness, every being. So whether it's animal, insect, bird, you know, fish, you know, so definitely. So, but I wouldn't necessarily say that I can get rid of insects. I might have just been lucky with that one. Who knows?
I helped a mouse once that was in my girlfriend's apartment. And we were having a meditation circle, and all of a sudden a mouse showed up, and you know, all the girls were screaming on top of the couches, on top of the chairs, and she called her husband with a box, and he tried getting this little mouse in the box, but he was going about it all wrong, and all these women were just screaming and stuff. And I took the box, I set it next to the mouse, and I told the mouse with my mind's eye, told the mouse, if you get in the box, I will give you a piece of cheese, and I will release you out in the field. Well, just like that, the mouse gets in the box. I told my girlfriend, go get me a piece of cheese. I don't care what flavor it is. Just get me a chunk of cheese. I promised him I would give him cheese. I put the cheese in the box. Mouse gets in the box. I take him down in the field, and I released him. And right before I released him, he turned around, and he looked at me right eye to eye and said, thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
It was just so heartwarming, and, I mean, the girls in the meditation circle were just like, oh, my God.
Yeah. How is that possible? But isn't that nice? I love when they thank you.
And, you know, again, with animals, I have to remind people, it's all about the energy that you bring forth. You know, here were these girls that were screaming because of the mouse, and the mouse was freaking out. But here was my energy just as calm and cool and loving, and I wasn't scared of the mouse. I wasn't going to do danger to the mouse, you know, and that was the energy I brought forth, and the mouse connected to that.
Absolutely. And it works with our own animals. So now, Robin, we're running very close. We have like a minute and a half, and I would love for you to tell people how they can find you and get in touch with you.
Oh, okay. Well, my website is www.robinettemeyer.com, and that's R-O-B-I-N-E-T-T-E, and Meyer is M-E-Y-E-R. And if anybody would like to email me, it's robinette@robinettemeyer.com, and you can also find that at the website. And then I also have a Facebook site under Robinette Meyer, Intuitive Psychic Medium, and / Animal Communicator.
Wonderful. Well, I hope people will get in touch with you and come on your website and see some of the wonderful things that you share with everybody there as well.
Well, thank you. Boy, this went quick. And
I know. Didn't I tell you this would be a quick show?
Yes, you did.
And it's always so fun. I love hearing the stories. And it's so relaxing here in the morning. So I know our listeners enjoy it, too, because they find out all kinds of new and interesting things. And, you know, it stretches them to try new things. And I love your last comments, though, Robin, about how it's the energy that you bring to the animals, too. So remember that, everybody out there with dogs and cats at home, keep your energy where you want it to be, and you'll see a different response from your pets. Okay, Robin, thank you so much, and maybe you'll come back and share more stories.
Oh, I would love to. I would absolutely love to, Jackie.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, Heart to Heart is brought to you by Zunich Advisory Services.
Okay, we're back, everybody. So that was Robinette Meyer, and she is the sweetest, sweetest person. I am so glad she was here with us this morning and gave us lots of good information. So it's nice to be able to share those things with you so you know, too, that you can talk to your own animals. It's really just something that you just haven't tried. You just haven't tried to listen and trust what you get, because you'll know things and you think you're just reading their behavior or their body language, but it's coming in there. So definitely try some of that. So next week, my guests will be the incredible husband and wife medium team of Benjamin Glesser and Carolyn Molnar. And we've had them on before, and they were just a blast. So Benjamin is the president of the Church of Universal Love, a spiritualist church in Toronto, Canada, and is a medical writer and an award-winning journalist. He's also the co-author of Compassionate Messenger, True Stories from a Psychic Medium. And his lovely wife, Carolyn, has over 30 years of experience as a medium, and her list of clients stretches from Vancouver to Beijing. She also teaches classes on how to tap into your intuitive abilities and has led workshops across Canada and at Lilydale in New York. So very, very talented mediums. And so if you have questions or you want to connect for a quick message, next week is the perfect day to call in. So it's going to be a good show. So also remember, I am easy to get a hold of if you'd like to tap into your loved ones here locally. For in-person, phone, or group readings, I have offices in Hanover and York. And for information about readings with me, please visit my website at www.jackielebeau.com, JACQUILEBEAU.com, or call my office at 717-968-5289. So, everybody, stay warm and cozy. Let's hope we don't have too much snow. And I hope everybody keeps power. And we'll see you next Tuesday for a fun morning with Benjamin and Carolyn and more of Heart to Heart, talking to spirit with animals.